Thanks, Brian. Did I turn that off? Oh, it is on. Am I? Okay. Just as we think about a message like this and a passage like this, I want you to think about stuff that Christians do, good stuff that Christians do, that you think might be off-putting to people who are not Christians or who might be interested in the gospel or might get in the way of the gospel. Oh, no. Oh, sorry, is there kids' church. Apologies. What are some of the things that, good things, not bad things, I'm not talking about being jerks or, you know, just being nasty people or whatever, but what are things that are, you know, Christians enjoy doing and doing in church, what do you think that get in the way sometimes of the gospel? And sharing, being, stop people from sharing their faith or stop, you know, sort of put Christians off. Have you got any ideas, anybody? I'll give you an example. I was at a wedding yesterday, my niece's wedding, and I wore a suit. I wore a black suit. Okay. Now the question is, should I be wearing that black suit today? You see. Now some people would say that's the way you have to do it, but others, and I would tend to agree, is that you make yourself stand out from a community, you make yourself seem totally different from everybody else, and so, you know, it can become a barrier. People will go, if I want to go to that church, I have to buy myself a suit and get myself a black suit, and I can't afford a suit. But if I was in a CBD somewhere and everybody wore those clothes all the time, then maybe that might be a, you know. But people say, well, you should dress up to honor God. Shows your respect for God. If you wear a black suit, that shows you really, really respect God. Heaps. So, you know, I'm free. I have the right to wear a black suit if I want. But if I feel that it is getting in the way of my ability to share the gospel and to be able to relate to people, then it's something that I might think about maybe not doing. What about all our lovely hymns? What about all of our cool new songs? You know, sometimes those things get in the way of the gospel, don't they? People go, oh, I can't, you know, those old hymns, I don't understand the words. What are they talking about? All those cool new songs, I can't, they're too fast, I can't sing to them, and things like that. We have lots of great traditions as Christians, don't we? And sometimes those traditions get in the way of the gospel, and some of the freedoms that we have, even as Christians, they get in the way of the gospel. And so in this chapter here, what the Apostle Paul is doing is he's continuing talking about this issue of how to deal with these things that Christians can't agree about. And one of them is, should I eat the food sacrificed to idols? And he says, well, when you make any decision about stuff that's a little bit controversial in the church, make that decision based on love. Not on purely what you know you can do or what the Bible says is right or wrong. Your primary focus has to be a decision of love. And then he uses himself as an illustration, which I believe is what he's doing here in this chapter. And he says, you know, he is an apostle and he has certain rights, but he says that he restricts those rights that he has as an apostle so that he can share the gospel with as many people as possible. I'll repeat that. He says he is an apostle, has certain rights, certain things. He's an apostle, he's a servant of the Lord, he's been commissioned to go out and plant new churches and write the scriptures and all that. But he says he actually restricts some of those things, and we'll get into the details of that, so that he can better preach the gospel to others. And he said, actually, it gives him greater freedom. It gives him greater liberty to do that. And he makes those famous statements at the end. You know, he says he wants to be all things to all men so that by any means he might gain some. So he says he's got these rights. He deliberately restrains them, particularly the issue of financial support. so that he has that freedom to share the gospel with whoever he is, he can, or whoever is available. And of course, we have to relate this to ourselves, don't we? Because I'm not an apostle. Okay, I know some churches say their pastors are apostles and all that. I reject that. I don't believe there are apostles today. Continuing. But how do we relate this to ourselves? How do we understand this in our own lives? How do we, you know, Paul was an apostle, but how do we apply this to our situation as Christians today? How do we put this into practice? So the first thing is we need to understand what our Christian rights are. We all have rights as Christians, and in fact, the world loves rights, doesn't it? There's human rights, there's workers' rights, there's children's rights, there's animal rights. You know, I get reminded by people that a basic right is having access to wireless internet, broadband. That's a human, basic human right, apparently. I didn't realize that. It's probably United Nations Convention on it. But there are rights, aren't there? Things like, you know, the right to life, right to getting some food, right to peace. Those are things that we have. And Christians, of course, we have rights as well. And the Apostle Paul, you notice here, he says, he says, am I not free? Chapter 9, verse 1, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen our Lord Jesus? You see, it seems that people were saying, Paul, you're not an apostle because you weren't one of the 12, possibly. And he says, actually, you know, I am an apostle, and I'm going to stand up and tell you that I am an apostle. I really, really am. I've seen the Lord Jesus. He appeared to me. He commissioned me. He said, go and preach the gospel. And he said, stop kicking against the goads, and I'm going to make you one of my servants. And he changed his name from Saul to Paul. And so he has to affirm that. And he says, this is my right to affirm this. And sometimes we as Christians need to affirm those rights. You might be saying, I'm a Christian, and other people will say, really? You don't really look like a Christian to me, with a haircut like that, you know, with clothes like that, with a name like that. Or they'll say, you know, your life doesn't measure up. How can you be a Christian? You still do sins. And people may challenge that. And so like Paul, we have to be able to affirm it. We say, you know, we go back to what we know. What we know is true for us, that we know the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have met him, that we have been saved, that we are growing in our faith, that we are endeavoring to die to sin each day. And we are trying to live by grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we shouldn't let people take that away from us, should we? Because there are many who will want to take that away, you know, in the news. Who are the Christians have been in the news lately? These folks down in this place called Glorivale. Sounds awesome, doesn't it? I mean, who doesn't want to live in Glorivale? It sounds glorious, you know? And I've talked to Christians and they've gone, man, that seems like such a neat place. Those people seem so happy, all those children dancing around, you know, the little girls wearing the blue dresses and holding hands, and, you know, dozens, each family's got a dozen kids, and it just seems like so, so wonderful, doesn't it? And you know, one of the things that's come out of that, I saw something on TV, I can't remember who it was, and it was some girl who went back and she wanted to talk to her parents, I think, and her family. And her father came out and he basically said to her, because you have left our community here, you are not a Christian. Okay? Because you have left, you are not a Christian. And that's of course how those people see everybody else. We're the Christians. Everybody else outside is not. And you've probably come across churches, you know, that are not quite in living on the in a gated community somewhere, but they think like that. We are the Christians. Everybody else outside, they're not real Christians. You have to be a real Christian, you have to be part of us. Taking away your basic right, don't they? Your right to be called a son or a daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is something that God gives, and we can't take it away. You know, there's often a story that I've heard told about a professor of theology, I can't remember his name, but He wrote many books on systematic theology and stuff like that. And at his, when he was on his dying bed, his deathbed, they said to him, "You know, you're a great professor. You've studied lots about God, and you've written books about God and about theology and predestination and all that stuff. That must give you a lot of confidence now that you're going to meet the Lord." And he said, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." So that was his basic right, wasn't it, as a Christian? His basic Christian right. And so we need to not be ashamed and afraid to affirm that. And Paul does that here as for himself as an apostle. But then he goes on and says, "Actually, though, I restrain some of my rights. I restrain some of my rights." And it's interesting what he says here. You know, because we have the right to be called a Christian who's loved by God and freed from, you know, sin's curse, it doesn't mean that we do whatever we want, however we want, whenever we want, does it? And he asks all these questions. It's really funny. In verse 4, he says, you know, "Do we not have the right to eat and drink? Do we not have the right to take along a believing wife as do the other apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas?" So he's talking about Jesus' biological brothers, James and them. And he's talking about Peter. You know, Peter was married. And obviously when they went out in ministry, the wives went with them. And he says, you know, "Don't we have the right to do that?" And of course, these are what you call rhetorical questions. The answer to them is yes. Yes, you do have the right. You can write yes, 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 yes. And he says, "Is it only Barnabas and I have no right to refrain from working for a living?" Meaning, you know, should we keep on working? Everybody else can't. And of course, said, no, Paul, you can. You can be supported by the churches. And he goes on and says, you know, when a soldier goes to fight, does he go and pay his own wages and all that kind of thing? No, soldiers don't do that. The soldiers get paid by the army, the government, the general, whoever. And he says, you know, what about farmers who plant their crops? Do they not have a right? You know, if you plant an apple tree, you know, you're allowed to eat the apples off that apple tree. If you plant it and you look after it and you water it, that's just a basic right, isn't it? And then what he's actually saying, though, is he says, actually, I've restrained those rights. I've got those rights, but I'm not doing that. And specifically, the issue was about him being supported by the church financially. And he says, actually, I'm holding back on that right. He talks about the ox muzzling the ox. I always quote that passage when I'm carving meat, you know, chicken or beef or whatever, and it's like Mari hates it, you know. She says, "Stop picking." Obviously in her family it was, you're not allowed to pick at the meat. My upbringing it was don't muzzle the ox when you tread out the corn. If you're carving the meat, you've just, you know, it's your right, you know, isn't it? That's right. Yeah, you agree, see? Yeah. But and he quotes that and he says, you know, this is about spiritual things that you have the benefit of. He says, if you're working in gospel ministry, like if you're a missionary overseas, then you do have the right to be supported by the other Christians. So you can give yourself fully to that work, and or pastoral ministry, or any kind of ministry where you have to give yourself fully to it. And he says, you know, we have all these rights, but he says, actually, I restrain them in order that I might advance the work of the gospel. And you know, even as Christians, we have rights, don't we? Individual rights. And I hinted at some of those earlier. You know, we have wonderful traditions about how we can worship God and, you know, the things that have been handed down to us in the past, and wearing, you know, beautiful robes. Sometimes, you know, you see ministers wearing long white robes and things like that, and lighting up candles and stuff like that, you know, and singing beautiful music and having choirs and all that kind of thing. And we always have to ask ourselves, is that helping us to tell other people about Jesus? Is that helping us to tell people about Jesus in a way that they'll understand? And I'll come back to some of the specifics of that a little bit more at the end. Where their right to fellowship, you know, sometimes when we get together as Christians, it's great, isn't it? we see each other, haven't seen each other all week or since the Bible study or whatever, and we just want to get together and we want to talk about the Lord or talk about our other needs. But there might be somebody who's come along to church that day who's not a Christian or needs some help. And you might need to just break up your little huddle. You've got a right to huddle with that brother or sister and talk about the Lord. That's your right, isn't it? But you might want to restrain that right so you can go and talk to this other person, this new person, this stranger who's just come in. You know, it's one of the most painful things, isn't it? You go into church and you see all the regulars there and they're just in their huddle and a stranger comes in. You know, when you go to a church, you know what it's like, people? You visit a church and it's the first time and you don't know anybody? Man, that's hard. That's a really embarrassing thing to do. And if nobody comes and talks to you, it just feels painful. I once sat in the corner of a room. There were 3,000 Christians in this room. 3,000 American Christians. And I was a Kiwi. And none of them came and talked to me. I was like, oh, this is stink. You know? They don't feel very Christian at the moment. Like, don't feel very loved. You know? And that can happen. So we have a right to fellowship, but we might want to restrain that a bit. You know, one of the things that we love to do often as Christians is getting away with other Christians. And in the past, this has been a problem. You know, they go, well, the world is really bad. Let's go off and we got a little place up there on the Coromandel. We're going to go and live there. And I'm going to live there and I'm going to just read the Bible and write books and write songs, you know. But I won't be talking to anybody else. I won't be talking to any non-Christians. I won't be working with anybody. I won't be talking to my neighbor. I won't be talking to my family. And that's one of the things that the Christians had to deal with, the churches had to deal with. Do we go off and lock ourselves in little monasteries, or do we stay in our streets and in our workplaces so that we can share the gospel with our education, with our work, with our families? So Paul says, you know, we need to restrain those rights that we have as Christians. And he says, I do that, things that are fully legitimate for me to do so that I can preach the gospel. For him, it was being supported financially so that he could preach the gospel to whoever he wanted. And we need to be free to preach to anyone and everyone. So he says he's restrained those freedoms. And this is my third and final point. We need to be free to preach the gospel to everyone and everyone so that they can have access. Notice his in verse 19, for though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant of all that I might win more of them. That was his focus, isn't it? He says, I've got all these freedoms, but I have made myself a servant. In other words, I have looked at other people and noticed their lives and noticed the needs and positions in their lives and the conditions that they live in. And I've identified with that so that I can share the gospel effectively with them. And he talks about, for example, the Jewish person. He says to the Jews, verse 20, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To the Jew I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. So what are the Jews are concerned about? You know, they're concerned about rules of purification and not mixing different fibers and in your clothing and different kinds of food and kosher and rules of cleansing and washing and all that kind of stuff. And he says, I can do that so that I can preach the gospel to those people, so I can share my faith with them. Those things really don't matter. And he says, for the legalist who spends all their time concerned about whether they're obeying the law and the Ten Commandments, I can live with that so I can share the gospel with them. He talks about those who are new in the faith and maybe easily offended. And he says, I can live a sensitive life and live in a way that doesn't put them off and doesn't totally mean that they just close their ears to hearing about Jesus. He explains it. He says in verse 22, to the weak I became weak that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. And he says that's what it means to be free to share the gospel in any context, with any person in a way that they can relate to that, and so that they will hear the gospel. You know, one of the things I was in a church once and somebody came and visited, and they wrote me an email afterwards and they said, you know, I came to your church and I was really offended because the person who served us communion was not wearing any shoes. And I didn't notice, actually. I was wearing shoes, but they weren't wearing shoes. And it's like, but do you not realize in our community, if you go to certain buildings, if you go to meeting places, what do? They take their shoes off and then they walk into the building. In fact, you're offending them by walking in with your shoes on. You know, if you went to another country and you wanted to go into one of their temples, they wouldn't let you in if you were wearing your shoes. Okay? So if you want to share the gospel with people who take their shoes off when they walk into a building, a sacred building or something like that, you take your shoes off, don't you? No big deal, really. If they want to chant and they don't sing, I was talking to a man and he said, you know, us Buddhists, from our Buddhist background, we never sing. And he said, the Christians come here and they go, let's all sing songs, you know, hallelujah, Lord's my shepherd, amazing grace. And then we go, what? What is that? We go, blah, 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 blah. Because that's how we, in our culture, that's how the Buddhist priests always, they chant. They don't sing. So you chant if you want to share the gospel with those people. Okay? If they drink wine at every meal, you have to have a drink of wine with your meal, don't you? If you want to share the gospel with them. And if they, I've heard it go to some places, the ladies sit on this side and the men sit on this side. You're not going to go in and say, whew, you know, I'm a man, I'm going to sit with the ladies. Yeah, it'd be disgusting, eh? No. You can talk about how we are one in Christ, and if there are issues as to what, you know, that women are inferior to men or something like that, then you engage with that and talk about that. But if you want to preach the gospel, you say, that's sweet. My wife, you sit there and I will sit there. And let's share the gospel with these people. If they bow instead of shaking hands, you bow. Okay, you don't insist on shaking hands. If they hongi instead of kissing, you hongi. Okay, don't get all hung up. I hear some Christians go, ooh, you can't hongi because you might be sharing the Spirit. And it's like, yeah, whatever. Just hongi. Okay. If they ride Harley Davidsons, you go and talk to Rob. Okay. If they play league, you might want to learn a bit about league. Okay? If they drink strong coffee, you will have to learn to drink strong coffee. Okay? If they're always late for meetings, you might have to just relax a little bit. If they are always punctual, you might have to learn to be a bit more punctual. Okay? If you want to share the gospel with them. If they eat with their hands, hey, the Bible doesn't say you have to eat with a knife and a fork. I've heard Christians say, oh, that's uncivilized. You know, that's not Christian to eat with your hands. Christians, didn't you know Christians eat with knives and forks? Eh? Haven't you read that? In 1 John chapter 6, verse 3, doesn't it say that? Or chopsticks? Or if they when they worship, they beat the drums. Beat the drums, brothers and sisters. Just don't ask me to beat the drums because I've got no rhythm. Beat the drums. If they worship with their bagpipes, buy some earmuffs. All right? If they sing a cappella, that's without music. Sweet. Don't take your guitar. What he's saying is, you know, there are things that we need to learn to do. We have rights as Christians, but we let them go in order that we can preach the gospel. That we can preach the gospel with anyone. You and I, we're free to share our faith in any context, and we should see to it that we can do that. You know, God, culture and things like that should never get in the way of anybody coming to Jesus. Okay? Never get in the way of anybody come to Jesus. Jesus wants all people everywhere. You know what it says in the Bible? It says, in the heavenly throne room, there are all people, there is all tribes and tongues and nations of the earth worshipping God. So there's going to be haka happening over in that corner. There's going to be slap dances. There's going to be bagpipes. Okay, there's going to be pipe organs. There's going to be drums. There's going to be choirs. It's all going to be happening because every tribe and tongue and nation is going to be there. They're not all going to be standing there holding a hymn book and singing to a pipe organ or standing there with a guitar and the drums and some lights. That's not how it's going to be happening, is it? Every tribe and tongue and nation is going to be worshipping God. So, you know, you and I, we have rights as Christians. You're a son, you're a daughter of the King, because you have been adopted into God's family. But there are times and there are places where we will forgo our rights in order to let other people come to know the Lord Jesus. And if you are someone who wants to come to the Lord Jesus, and there are things that, you know, you think, well, I have to do or I have to change about myself or about my culture, you talk to Jesus about that. Okay. You probably don't. You probably don't. It's about coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and not about the way we're brought up and the things we do and how we eat and how we dress. That should never stop you and I from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing you need to do is come to Him, and He gives you that forgiveness. He gives you that eternal life that only He can give, and that is for everybody. If it's not about the Lord Jesus, if it's something that's outside of Him and that's stopping you from coming to Him, then you can probably quite safely ignore that. The only thing that should stop you coming to Jesus is Jesus Himself. And for us, if you're a Christian today, you have to look at your rights and things in your life and make sure that none of those are stopping you from sharing your faith with everybody and anybody in a way that they can relate to and hear the gospel and enjoy its benefits and its blessings. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you that you call us to yourself and you challenge us. You challenge us to let go of some of these things that we hold dearly and we think is the only way to worship or the only way to live as a Christian. And you say to us, are those things really important? Are those things really what the gospel is all about? And so we pray that you would help us, Lord, that we would be those who delight in Jesus for who He is, and we are confident knowing that we are His children, but that we don't let those things get in the way of the gospel. And I pray for anybody here today who has thought about being a Christian or would like to be a Christian but thinks that they have to change their lives first and then become a Christian. I pray, Lord, that you would draw them to yourself right now, that they would see you as the one who welcomes everyone and anyone to come to them, come to you and live, and you will give forgiveness of sins. You will change their lives in the way that needs to be changed. So we thank you for this day. We thank you for one another. We thank you for how we're all different. But we pray that you would help us to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and how we can make Him known. Because we pray in His name. Amen.